Securities and investment advisory services offered through NFP Advisor Services, LLC, NFPAS, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial Solutions for Business is a member of Partners Financial, an affiliate of NFPAS. Financial Solutions for Business and NFPAS are not affiliated.
Welcome to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show with Steve Beatty. Steve is the founder of Financial Solutions for Business, the author of the Ultimate Business Owner Plan, and Certified Exit Planning Advisor. He uses his 25 years of working with successful business owners and interviews with top advisors and successful business owners to help baby boomer business owners create the business and the life they have always dreamed of. Now, here's Steve.
Thank you, Spike, and we're back with the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show. I'm now pleased to have Randy Fox join us. Randy's with Two Hawks Consulting and works in a very unique niche area that I think has a lot of potential for the future and is very interesting. He works with helping business owners take a philanthropic business exit with something he calls the charitable stock bailout. So, Randy, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks, Steve, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, great. I'm really interested to hear about your topic. Like I said, I think it's a unique one and one that will come into play as this silver tsunami, as I call it, crashes to the shore and more baby boomers are looking for options to exit their businesses in ways that fit their goals and their lifestyles. I think all sorts of alternative solutions like this are going to become important. So real interested to hear what you have to say. We usually start off with giving our listeners some background about our guests. So if you could take a minute or two and tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to be doing what you're doing today.
Well, I actually started my first career was in a family business. I come from a long line of family business owners. My grandfather was a business owner. My dad went to work for him. My dad started another business, and I went to work for him and spent 12 wonderful years doing that before I kind of transitioned over to the financial services industry back in the mid-1980s. Early in my career, kind of right after the 86 Tax Act, actually, the shelters were gone. We started looking for ways to really be more comprehensive in what we were doing, and I kind of came onto the charitable planning scene probably in the late 1980s when charitable remainder trusts were first becoming available to as a tool that financial advisors used. And I realized that being a child of the 60s, I wanted to change the world, and the best way to do it was by using the financial leverage of getting other people to come along for the ride. So I kind of plunged deeply into not only charitable estate planning, but all areas of estate planning so that I would become more well-rounded in that area. And you know, as time went on, I spent more and more time kind of devoting myself to learning more about philanthropy and how it applied to more situations so I could help more people.
That's a great story, and it is a way to change the world. It might not be the way that you envisioned as a child of the 60s, but you've got the opportunity to make a big impact doing this. Don't you agree?
I do agree. I think I had added it up at one time. I had a lifetime goal of kind of getting $100 million over to the philanthropic side. And the last time I think I was close to $500 million.
Wow.
Just on plans that I'd helped work on over the number of years because I gained some more leverage along the way. But, I don't have a top number anymore. I just want to get as many people involved in philanthropy as possible before I get out of here. So that's kind of the next goal.
That's awesome. It's always been my goal to create my own foundation and make a big splash and be able to be a full-time philanthropist. So you're right along the lines of how I think. So I like that, Randy. So tell us how you're doing this with businesses and using this in the world of exit planning. So what's the concept behind a charitable stock bailout?
Well, yeah. Thanks for that question. And before I dig too deep into that, I do want to say this is just one tactic. It's not for
sure.
Everybody.
Right.
You know, it's you know, take this with in the context of whether or not it fits. But
we talk about on the show, so you know, we talk about on the show, you know, all the different you know, options that business owners have, and so that's why we like to bring on experts like you to talk, to dig a little deeper on the particular ones. So we talk in a broad based thing, so people get that context.
Great, that's helpful. A charitable stock bailout is a very unique kind of plan. Obviously, it involves what's called a charitable remainder trust, and for those who don't use charitable remainder trusts often, that's a special kind of trust whereby it's set up by an individual or a couple. They put assets in the trust, and those assets can provide them an income for usually as long as they're alive. And when they pass away, those assets go to the charity or charities that they've named as the beneficiary of the trust. So unlike other trusts that people set up where the assets usually go to the kids or grandkids, these assets pass to charity. The advantage of this kind of trust is that, first of all, when you place assets in the trust, the donors get a charitable income tax deduction for some portion of the value they place in the trust. And those assets are now out of their estate for estate tax purposes. Also, because the trust is charitable, the assets upon sale avoid capital gains tax. So let's kind of get this back in perspective. I have a business owner. He has stock in his company. He wants to get out. Someone wants to buy the company from him. He can place the stock in the charitable remainder trust, and the buyer can buy the stock from the charitable remainder trust instead of from him. There's a lot of cautions that go around this, and specifically, a charitable stock bailout usually uses retained earnings in the company to buy the stock back and allows a more effective transfer to key employees, for instance. Normally, the owner will gift or sell a small amount of the shares to family members, the next generation, key employees, and then the company can redeem the shares from the owner, freeing up capital, effectively cashing the owner out.
Yeah, got it. So primarily, first, can any sort of entity be used? Must it be a C corporation, or can we use LLCs or S corporations?
Preferably a C corp. There is a problem with the S corp if you transfer the stock to a charitable remainder trust. Charitable remainder trusts aren't qualified S corp owners, so the S election would be revoked. Now that may be okay. It just depends on the facts and circumstances of every case. Also, instead of stock, you can just do the same thing with the assets of the corporation.
Assets.
So
sure.
Again, you know, it's a little stickier when you go do this, but it can work.
And primarily, you're looking for businesses with very low basis, true? Companies that have a lot of gain that they're trying to avoid?
Absolutely. Although that's not necessarily the case, avoiding capital gain is a big part of it. But if you think about the fact that if you put assets or stock into a charitable remainder trust, you also get an immediate income tax deduction.
Right.
That alone may well be worth the price of admission. It's just, again, you have to look through every situation individually.
Right. So where do you start with that? Tell me about kind of your evaluation process of where you start to see if this fits with somebody.
Well, the first evaluation is of the client himself and what their, you know, idea is for the future, what they're looking for in terms of their own lifetime goals and overall circumstances, how much of their assets are represented by the company. Typically with business owners, it's by far the largest asset, and it might be 80 or 90% of their asset base.
Statistically, that's correct. We've seen a survey from Pricewaterhouse where business owners have an average of 80 to 90% of their assets tied up in their business. So you're right on track there.
Yeah, no, that's what I see over and over again. And then the question is, well, you know, do we do all of this or part of this? Because I wouldn't want 100% of my money being tied up in this kind of irrevocable arrangement. So could I do it with 50% or 60% or 40% or 30%? So all of those, you know, there's a lot of number crunching and evaluation that goes on as we kind of analyze these. Then the next thing is, are there family members in the business? Do the family members want the business? Where will the funds come from for them to buy the business, or how will they get the business? And what are the best strategies for getting the business to them? And so it's kind of, we go down this whole series of questions about what's the most effective way? Is this a way we should look at? If we look at it, you know, how should we look at it? And on we go.
Yeah, very interesting. So in the end, the owners that choose to utilize this strategy typically choose it because?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One is that they're philanthropic. And again, a lot of business owners don't know they're philanthropic, but they are. you know, they've been, they've been members of the community. They've supported everything in the community for as long as they've been there, because that's where all their employees live. They sponsored a baseball team, a little league team. They're members of their faith-based community of some level, and they've always been on the building committee and the, you know, have donated heavily. But they don't think about that as philanthropy. They just think about that as their everyday life. Most people think philanthropy means, you know, I have to be Bill Gates, or I have to be Warren Buffett, or I have to be somebody big. And really, their philanthropy is just as important as anybody else's. So they must be philanthropic. They can't just do this for tax reasons. It would be silly. I guess that would be number one. Secondly, they would, you know, everybody wants to exit the most efficient way possible. And so paying the least amount of taxes is important to them. That's true of every business owner I've ever met. And third, they have to be willing to give up a certain amount of control at some point. Because at some point in this structure, they will no longer control their company. So,
right.
As long as they're okay with that. And fourth, I guess they have to think about, if I give all this money away, will I be leaving my family enough money? And, you know, that's another discussion to have. And, of course, we can always replace this asset with other assets if we do this properly.
Absolutely true, such as life insurance or other assets.
Such as life insurance. It's common to say we're going to give $5 million to charity or $10 million to charity, and we're going to give our kids half that back or all of that back or 20 times that back. You know, it's kind of a personal decision. So,
yeah, I think people forget that it can really, it doesn't have to be all or nothing, that there's lots of control and customization that you can do with these sorts of strategies, that you can really decide, you know, how much do you want to leave to charity? How much do you want to leave to the kids? I have a client that I've worked with that one of his big hang-ups in doing estate planning at all is that he doesn't want to leave his kids so much money that they become ne'er-do-wells, that they you know, just become trust fund babies and don't have any incentive. And so it's hard to get him over that hurdle. And this is one of those types of strategies that can help clients like that really, really dial in who gets what, correct?
Exactly, and that's one of the huge issues with business owners. You know, the whole I built it from scratch and now you're just getting it, or I built it from scratch and I'm going to make you wealthy. And I have for years been using philanthropy as kind of the way to teach kids to be responsible about money, as to give them money that they have some say over, but that they can't spend on themselves. So philanthropy is a great launching point for families to get more involved in teaching their kids the responsibility of great wealth.
Yes, great concept. And so on the other side, though, there are, as you said, you're involved in a multi-generational family business. I have one client that's her kids will be the seventh generation of owners of their business. For the client that really does have a functional family business and does have children involved and capable of taking over this business, how can this be used in that regard?
Well, again, the best, you know, one way to get the business down generations is to do it in the most tax efficient way. And
sure.
So with a charitable stock bailout, if you transfer small amounts of shares to kids who typically don't have enough money to be able to buy the whole company, but small amounts of shares to the kids, and then use the company to redeem the stock from your charitable trust, they can control the company once they hit the point where they have more stock than you do, and so or than the owner does, because enough stock has been retired by the company that they are now majority owners. So it really is a very efficient and effective way to get it to the next generation, without having to already have great wealth.
Interesting. No, that's a great point, because obviously, like you said, kids, whatever age, and raising their own kids and so forth, aren't bankable or don't have their own wealth to write a check for the business, and this can be a way to have the cake and eat it too.
Yeah, that's right. How do we get mom or dad out of the business when we don't have the money? Are we going to go borrow it from a bank, which we could do, but maybe there's another way. So again, it's just a matter of exploring options.
And really, it becomes it's maybe obvious to me, but for key employees, the same thing could apply, correct? If there, you know, there aren't
necessarily
children, but using the same strategy to be able to do this with key employees seems to make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite case presentations I've done, Steve, and it's based on a true case. I change the names to protect the innocent always, but you know, the father gives the annual gift amount to his son and half the annual gift amount to a key employee for a couple years in a row, so that those people are around invested in the company with shares, and then goes through the charitable stock bailout over a period of years, so that the key employee and the son or daughter are moved into the business as they're ready to take it on. And the key employee is obviously incented to stay. And some of the terms of the charitable stock bailout is a corporation buys back stock, it must make the same offer to all employees that are stock owners, but the key employee and the son aren't going to sell their stock back because they just got it. So we know that the only seller will be the senior generation, and that the minority owners are going to hang on until they are majority owners.
So and you said over a period of years, so it's not necessarily just a one-time wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, one-time sale.
Exactly. You can do it in such a way that, you know, say you have a father who wants to exit the business in 6 or 7 years. Start now and start letting him groom the next generation and the next key employee to take over, and buy back stock on an annual basis as long as he's comfortable that the company is prospering and has the money to do it, and that the next generation and the key employee are the right people to take the helm. So you can kind of do a watch and wait plan if you want to.
So we've got a little extra time. I'd love to hear another success story or two if you've got some to share. That was a great first one you had there, but if there's some other names that you can protect, that would be great, and share a story of that might illustrate how this can work.
Well, do you want me to just be on this strategy or just charity in general? Because
if you'd like to expand, go ahead. You know, if you talk about kind of the work that you're doing, that would be great.
I think a lot of people, both in the charitable field and attorneys or other advisors, try to give advice that is really tactical in nature. So the other day I got a call from a gentleman out east, and the strategy was that he had about a $5 million estate, $2 million was in his IRA. He didn't need the IRA money to live on currently because he was still working, but he was approaching that dreadful age of 70 and a half where he would have to start taking required minimum distributions. And so someone proposed to him, and I don't know whether it was a charity or whether it was a financial advisor or an attorney, that he withdraw his entire IRA, take the entire IRA and put it in what's called a charitable lead trust, give the lead trust money on an annual basis, that distribution to charity, and then at the end of the time, the money would come back to him and his family, and he would get a 90% income tax deduction, so it wouldn't cost him very much. Well, this is the kind of planning that kind of drives me crazy, because it was done with no context about this gentleman's life. This was an irrevocable decision, and though he was healthy enough now to continue working, you know, he could be diagnosed with Alzheimer's 2 years from now and not have be able to work and need his IRA money. You know, I did a kind of brief analysis with him of a couple of other ideas that probably would have been better for him, but I still didn't know enough about his situation to give him that advice. But I think I did talk him down off the ledge, at least, so that, you know, he would be willing to step back and say, let's look at everything in terms of my entire situation and then see what the best thing is to do. It looks very much like the charitable IRA rollover is going to be reinstated. That's probably the best thing for him to do for the next couple of years, while he continues to work and have to take these RMDs, and then take a wait and see attitude over how his health goes and whether he can continue to be gainfully employed. Turns out he had a girlfriend and a couple of kids he wanted this money to go to anyway. So the strategy wasn't going to really work well for him. So, again, I like to be very cautionary before, one makes a big decision with a couple of million dollars, 40% of his estate.
Yeah, no, and you're demonstrating that you're very client-centric and are looking out for things that clients might not think of or see down the road, and I applaud you for that. That's what we got to do to really be of service to wealthy business owners. But like the approach. We've got time for one more story. If there's one more that comes to mind before we wrap up, I'd love to give our audience one more example of how charity can really be a great strategy to do good and do well for themselves.
Well, I'll go back to another IRA plan that we did for a client. And this was one where the gentleman had amassed a fairly significant IRA, $2.5 or $3 million, and wanted to benefit his alma mater, as it turns out. And again, a little known strategy that people don't often use. Instead of leaving his IRA with a spousal beneficiary, he named a charitable remainder trust as the beneficiary of his IRA, and then allowed his spouse to receive income from the IRA for her lifetime. And because we now have an over $5 million exemption, we're actually able to name his children as subsequent beneficiaries of the IRA and still get the IRA, enough of his IRA out of his estate to avoid estate tax. So even though charity is going to have to wait kind of a long while for this money, they're going to get it eventually. And this way his kids can benefit from the income from the trust. But again, they pull all the money out and use it for themselves, which is a fear that he had. So,
Sure. Again,
you have to look at everything someone's trying to accomplish and figure the best way to do it for them. Charity will benefit, but they're going to have to wait.
Yep. So last question, you know, if there's kind of some tips or strategies or precautions that you would give to a business owner that's looking at exit strategies and does think about philanthropy and being charitable, what would be some tips, strategies, or precautions that you might give those folks?
Well, this one took me a while, so I actually wrote these down. First of all, for business owners, and I think I heard this on the show prior, is, you know what where you're exiting to, know what's next. I think the reason a lot of business owners don't ever sell their businesses is because they don't know where they're going and what they're going to do when they don't have to go to the office every day. I just completed a book called Happy Money, which was written by a Harvard professor and a professor from Canada. And it's about, you know, what can we do with money that will make us happy? And you would think that's easy, but it's really not. And one of the things that they landed on was that one thing that's really important is buying yourself experiences, and another thing that was important was giving money away. There were a few other things, but those were critical ones to me, because business owners can go have nice experiences, but they can also really be happy giving some of their money away. Second thing I would say is to build a dream team. I think charitable planning shouldn't be done in a vacuum. Exit planning shouldn't be done in a vacuum. It takes an attorney, an accountant, a financial advisor, maybe a charitable planning expert, and probably four or five other kinds of experts to get this right. If you're going to only do this once and make it right, make sure you have a team that knows how to collaborate, make sure they're the best at what they do, and make sure that you're not afraid to listen to them.
Yeah, exactly.
And the third...
Go ahead.
And the third is to look at more than one option. You know, normally everybody has an axe to grind. The investment banker wants you to sell as fast as possible, doesn't really care about tax consequences. But you really should think through and look at what are the implications of this option versus what are the implications of that option versus what are the implications of another option that you hadn't even thought of before. And pick the one that fits you the best, not the one that people are trying to sell you.
That is good advice for just about anything, not just charitable planning. So I appreciate your thoughts and your experience, Randy. I think that there's a lot of good information there. What's the best way for people to learn more or talk to you about these sorts of strategies?
Probably the best thing to do is to just send me an email. It's really easy. It's my name, Randy A. Fox, the number one, at gmail.com. I'll respond to anybody and happy to pick up the phone and make a call just about any time and any place.
And then you've got a newsletter, too, that you do that helps people learn
well,
more
I'm,
about
I'm
that,
Well, I'm the editor-in-chief of a national journal called the Plan Giving Design Center. It's actually a newsletter that's sent out by charities to advisors and donors. It's free.
Great.
So you can just go to Plan Giving Design Center or PGDC.com and sign up, and you'll see my writing, and you'll pretty much anything you want to know about charity can be found in their archives. There are 60,000 articles archived on our site. It's been around a long time, and I've recently just taken over as editor-in-chief. So
very good. No, great. Once again, I really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you for some very interesting information, and I look forward to having you back in the future and talking some more about some of the interesting case studies that you've worked on between now and then.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. It's been great to be here, and I'd love to come back. I've got a number of other interesting things to discuss, and hopefully I'll get invited back.
Well, that sounds great. You certainly will. So have a great weekend, and we look forward to talking to you in the future. So that was Randy Fox. He's obviously an expert in using charitable strategies for high-income, high-net-worth individuals and business owners. To get in touch with him, email him at randyafox1@gmail.com and really think about how can a charitable strategy help you exit your business. And as I said, the phrase that I always use is be able to do good for others and do well for yourself and your family. So we're going to take a break. We'll be coming back with interview that was done previously.